This podcast is brought to you by Radio Reverb. If you like what you hear, please support us by donating online at radioreverb.com.
The What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Last Monday, 47-year-old Darren Osborne from East Cardiff drove a van into a group of Muslim worshippers near a mosque in Finsbury Park in North London. Now, an investigation is being carried out by Scotland Yard's Counter-Terrorism Command, which has been looking at possible motives for the attack and are said to include extreme racist beliefs. It is also being reported that over the weekend, a 13-year-old boy has been referred to the government's anti-extremism programme by his school after he celebrated the attack at Finsbury Park. Following the attack last week, a lot of the debate has focused on the rise of Islamophobia here in Britain. But in some ways, we've been here before. Back in the 1970s, 80s and 90s, during the Troubles, members of the Irish community living in Britain also witnessed a rise in hostility from some people. Those days seem like a million years ago now, but one person who lived in the UK at that time is the chairman of the Brighton Irish Society, Ty Galvin, and he joins me here in the studio. Hello, Ty.
Good morning.
Ty, let's start with a post that we put up on Facebook last week to find out what experiences some people in the Irish community had back in the day of the IRA bombings. Eddie Stanton on Facebook said he was talking to an English lad who was working in the Rover factory after the Birmingham bombings. He said that there was a mob in the factory and they were going to hang a lad working there just because he was Irish. And the English lad that Eddie was talking to was the one who cut the rope down to stop that from happening. Padraig McAfee said that many Irish kept their heads down to avoid abuse and insults, but many also kept their heads high. I remember parading in the London St. Patrick's Day parade with the Ancient Order of the Hibernians, Division 51, and he was being hoarded along by police with insults of "Move it, Paddy." I think it was 1983-84, Padraig says, and I had a shop in Greenwich, which was attacked with slogans of "IRA lover, Irish go home." And he said that, "I'm so pleased you've raised this issue because," Padraig says, "that I feel for the Muslim community. I was once branded like them, lest we forget." Ellie Martin said, "I certainly experienced that. My mammy was from Mayo, and she was refused service in shops during the 1970s because of her accent. We were even warned at school to no longer wear our badges on St. Patrick's Day for our own safety." And Brendan McSweeney said that, "I arrived in 1974 as a management trainee in a 500-room hotel near Russell Square, and not once did I have a bad word directed at me or my very Irish accent. It was 80% English staff and 15 of them still remain my closest friends to this day. So I have a great respect for the UK. I'm 100% Irish and have never missed a year returning home." It's good to hear positive comments as well. Ty, kind of a very mixed reaction there. What was your experience of living here during the Troubles?
Well, I experienced a lot of those incidents. But I also found a great understanding from many of the British people who were willing to understand the historic situation. Notwithstanding this, Irish people here were often looked on as terrorists. This was mainly due to unfair media and gutter press reporting. The vast majority of Irish people in this country and in Ireland resented the IRA bombing campaign here.
Which leads me on very nicely to the reasons perhaps that people would have been treated like that back in the day. So you think it's because of just a lack of understanding of the situation back then?
Well, it was a new education for the British people of the situation in Ireland. It had not been revealed before how bad the situation was.
I suppose, like, I moved to the UK about 8 years ago, and it kind of feels quite surreal now thinking that you know, some of that stuff happened, some of those comments that came through. Some of that abuse was isolated, of course, but unbelievable to think that some people would stereotype and make a massive jump to any Irish person living here being a terrorist.
Well, I think this was brought about by all parties, and particularly by the peace agreement, which, of course, we must adhere to. And I hope it's not endangered due to the present agreement between the DUP and the Tories, and of course the Europe situation, We hope not to see a hard border again. But a lot of this people were re-educated. British people began to understand and see the necessity for fairness in the north of Ireland. And there is a bigger understanding today. And of course, there's a much more educated Irish people coming over here at this moment in time.
So back in the day when people were being kind of maybe abused or kind of called names and stuff, what was the sense within the Irish community? How were people reacting? How were Irish people reacting to that?
Well, the Irish people, I was in Brighton for a lot of this period and in London prior to that. A lot of Irish people gathered together, and there were Irish people keeping their head down, but like your previous correspondent said, most of us held our head up high. We didn't have reason to keep our heads down. And we kept our pride and we kept doing what we always did at work, in the workplace and elsewhere. And I felt there was a fair deal of apart from the Irish people that were abused, there was a fair deal of understanding of the situation as well at that time by the English people, by the British people generally.
Yeah, so it was kind of a mixed bag then. Some people got it, some people didn't get it. I get the sense maybe the Irish people might have rallied around kind of a bit more than they do perhaps now. The Irish community in Britain rallied around more as a reaction to the stereotype that was being put out there of them. Would that be a kind of a fair assumption, or am I kind of going crazy? Or
well, the Irish people did not rally around. The Irish people were fragmented, and there was no great voice. I think the Irish government at the time may have let us down a bit. There was no great voice for normality, and nobody saying that the Irish people in Britain, who were building the roads, building the railways, working on the superstructure as normal and as they always did, there was no great rallying voice to take our side.
Okay, so there was no kind of campaign by Irish people living here to kind of portray a different type of Ireland?
Well, no, not particularly organised, no.
Right, okay. So
Irish person in the street portrayed what the real Irish people were.
Sir Terry Wogan provided relief for the Irish community back then, and we spoke about a year ago to Seamus McGarry, director of the Irish Cultural Centre, about the importance, I guess, of Terry Wogan being on air at the time of the attacks. Here's what he said.
In the times when we really needed someone like Terry to be on the radio and on television, he presented to the British people at the time when bombs were going off all over the place, a sort of normal Irish person's persona, as opposed to what they were seeing in their television screens. Night after night, he kept the Irish thing.
Yeah.
Normal.
That must have been quite important to you because, you know, as an Irishman living over here at those times of the Troubles, people, I get the sense that it was tough. It was tough for Irish people living here in the UK.
It was difficult. I was chairman of the Federation of Irish Societies at the time, and there was a lot of pressure on community organisations and various Irish establishments regarding the sort of people who didn't really understand what was going on and took a very narrow view of the whole thing.
So, Ty, did you feel kind of a relief from having someone like Terry on air and kind of putting across another version of Ireland? Because a lot of the press attention was focused on, we'll say, IRA bombings and the North.
But Terry came through it all at the time with his sense of gentle Irish humour, and he was a consolation to Irish people that we were seeing some sort of normality, of Irish normality in the media.
Looking now at what's happening with the Muslim community, what kind of advice would you give them, seeing as you've come through it yourself before as someone in the Irish community?
Well, again, we have to appeal for calm and for common sense to prevail. I don't know why they call it common, but the majority of Muslim people are living their lives as they do, whatever religion they support, and they're not our enemies.
And do you think the press has a part to play in it?
Well, the press have a very big part to play, but I hope they're far more educational than they were in our time, in the 80s, rather than total biased in one against us.
Perfect. Listen, Ty Gavin from the Brighton Irish Society, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a Radio Reverb podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and to hear more podcasts like this, check out radioreverb.com.